Greetings. Welcome to St. Dominic's Weekly. Today I'm so excited to announce a wonderful guest, Kelly Wahlquist. Kelly is a Catholic author, speaker, evangelist, and she is the founder of an organization called WINE, W-I-N-E, Women in the New Evangelization. It's a wonderful website that gathers women together in order to support them in being, in a sense, good fruit for our culture and for family life. She's also the assistant to now the director for the Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute in St. Paul in Minneapolis, author of a book called Created to Relate, and the editor of a book called Walk in Her Sandals, which is the theme of the retreat that she recently gave here at the parish to our women's group and our Bible study and women who came from all over to participate in that Lenten retreat morning. We had just a delightful time. I took the advantage to be able to get her to know her, to get her story. I think you'll enjoy other ways in which she delightfully articulates the need to be evangelists, her own story, which includes how vocations can be shaped by babysitting, among other things. And we found a few other points of connection and commonality in a providential way. I have to say this was one of my favorite interviews to sit down with. So whether you're on the go or taking it slow, many, many blessings as you enjoy today's show. Welcome to St. Dominic's Weekly. This is Father Michael. I am so excited. We have a wonderful guest with me this afternoon, Kelly Wahlquist. Welcome.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. And the occasion is we have our retreat, a Lenten retreat for women, as we've done. It's, I guess, the second annual, as I put annual, Kathy, who coordinates, Kathy Poland, our director of faith, formation for families and youth, is now smiling at me as I say annual after 2 years in a row. But to take the occasion to talk about some of the wonderful ways in which last year we had Lisa Hendy, and this year to have Kelly here, just to share a little bit about your ministry, especially with women, especially in the church. And so it's fantastic to have you. Thanks for your time.
It was great being here. They're on fire.
I mean, really? Okay. Yeah. The retreat went well.
Retreat went really well.
Fantastic.
Really receptive, and just I got energized from them.
Nice.
Totally.
Very good. Isn't that the body of Christ though?
Yes.
Right.
You Amen.
Gotta, I know. It's so like someone will tell me as a priest, they'll say like, you know, oh, how did the retreat go? How did that experience go? And you'll say like, oh, it went well. But what they don't get is that you get fired up as a priest. You know, when you're involved in the whole interaction, when the Spirit moves, it touches everyone involved,
yes,
even those
absolutely.
Who are in charge. So fantastic. Now, you're not from San Francisco, though?
I'm not. No, I'm from a place with a little bit more snow.
Where's that?
I'm from Minnesota.
Oh, Minnesota.
St. Paul, Minneapolis. So the Twin Cities.
Oh, the Twin Cities. Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. And that's where you were born and raised? And
born and raised.
Okay. Very good.
St. Paul.
Nice. Wow. And so, you're married and have a family. I discern that from some of the stories you were telling about how men and women, husbands and wives, think differently.
They do. It's true. Sometimes. Yeah, I am. I'm married. We'll be married 25 years in May.
So 25 years.
25 years.
What would you say to yourself if you could go back in time 25 years ago and give yourself one piece of advice?
Oh, enjoy every moment because it goes so fast.
Okay.
It really does.
Wow. Just with everything.
With all of it.
Yeah.
With all of it. Just to enjoy it. Take it all in.
All right.
So I don't sweat the small stuff. Right?
Okay. any key practical tips for not sweating the small stuff? You know, you hear
trust,
as a priest, you
trust in Jesus.
Trust in
God
Jesus.
God has a plan of sheer goodness. Just trust in that plan.
All right.
Stay close to him. Yeah. So I've been married to Andy for 25 years. We have three kids, Annika, Allie, and Miles.
Wow.
So...
And what ages are they?
23, 20, and 16.
Oh, nice. Okay, so you were telling me. Okay, I was imaging the smaller kids, but you're
because I look so young.
Yes,
yeah,
I was.
Nice.
I was. No, I'm doing my job as a host.
He's on his way to confession.
No, I'm serious. So out of college then.
One's out of college,
oh,
one's
nice.
A sophomore, and then a sophomore in high school.
Okay, so you're almost, well, you're not quite, are we empty nesting once
I got
to college?
Two more years. Empty nesting.
Empty nesting, okay. And they're in the Midwest themselves, or
they are.
Most, okay.
Yep. Both girls went to the University of St. Thomas.
Oh, nice.
And, Annika graduated from there, and Allie's there now.
Okay.
She's the one, my middle child, was the one that's like, when I go to college, I'm moving so far away from you.
Yeah.
I'm going to be in California.
Oh.
And right now, I work at the University of St. Thomas, so her window to her bedroom is probably 60 no. feet from the window of my office.
Oh, my
gosh.
Oh, my goodness.
So she didn't get too far.
we'll see later on. Yeah. She's taking small baby steps. Yeah. Baby steps around.
She's, like, staying around. She's loving it.
So. Nice. So just maybe to work backwards, the group that you've founded is called Wine. At least that's what jumped off the page to me when we were promoting the event. So tell me a little bit about Wine or the spiritual euphoria around it.
Well, Wine, which is a great name, but it's an acronym for Women in the New Evangelization.
Yep.
So it was founded, kind of came to me 6 years ago. And officially, we became a nonprofit on December 12th, 2014, which is a good day. And if you think about that, we're talking about women in the new evangelization, mm-hmm. and we go to the state to become a nonprofit in like February or March, and you don't know when they're going to give that to you. And all of a sudden, December 12th, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the new evangelization, God is good.
That is fantastic.
So Wine is a national women's movement, I would say, and it's not about the wine we drink. It really comes from scripture. Mm. And we find it at the wedding of Cana, mm-hmm. and we take our inspiration from the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verse 5, where Mary says to us, actually, our final words in scripture, where she says, do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. So wine is about doing the will of God. I just contend that as women, this is what the ladies learned at the retreat, we are radically, radically relational. And because we're radically relational, it's just so much easier to do God's will when you're surrounded by your sisters in Christ who are nurturing you, who are supporting you, who are encouraging you, who are lifting you up when you're feeling down, who are rejoicing with you when you're elevated. I mean, that's a big part of it.
Nice.
Because there can be a lot of competition and we can't compete. We have to complete one another with our giftedness. So that's what Wine is all about. It's really about elevating women in their gifts. It's about introducing women to a relationship with other women so we can go deeper in a relationship with the Lord.
Nice.
It's been awesome. I wish I could say I named it.
Oh, who named it?
I didn't.
Or did you have you had help on the name?
Well, the Holy Spirit, I think. But yeah. I was sitting with a little sister Kathleen in Florida, mm-hmm. and I was telling her, I was so passionate about it. I'm like, this is what I want. I don't want women to have to reinvent the wheel. You know, I want them to have everything at their fingertips. So if they're going to start a retreat, they don't have to, you know, go and redo it. They can learn from other women. And I want them to know what's out there that's tried, trusted, and true. And I want them to be elevated in their giftedness and to know the truth about their dignity, their vocation, and their feminine gifts. And I was going on and on. I said, I want to call it something like Women in the New Evangelization. And she said, well, call it that. And I said, well, sister, I'm like, that's a mouthful. And she said, no, it's not. It's Wine. I was like, oh, you're brilliant.
Nice.
So that's
a Holy Spirit moment. But that's a Holy Spirit moment.
Sister Kathleen gets the credit for naming a wonderful ministry that is sweeping the nation.
Nice. So certainly in terms of that project of, as you say, not competition, but a sense completion or collaboration, what exactly, so what is, if I want to be, well, not me personally, but if a woman wants to be part of what, is it like small groups? Is it a prayer group? Is it a Bible study? Like what is it?
Yes. All of it. That's all of it.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, that really is. That is what it is.
Yeah.
My original thought.
It's very meta.
It is what it is. We're all inclusive. Yeah. We're bringing everything. My original thought was what I wanted to do was get women into relationship, you know, to get them on fire for the Lord.
Yeah.
Really. And then to have them discern, well, where can they go next? Because if we brought them into an event, let's say we bring them into an event, we have events called Women, Wine, and Wisdom. These are our evening events. Now, those events we might have wine and cheese and crackers at.
Sure.
And they're fun. They got great titles. You know, we've done.
It's like a social mixer.
It is.
A spiritual social mixer.
I like that.
That's right.
It's a spiritual social mixer. Yeah, you know, the titles are like Wake Up, Sleeping Beauty, You've Already Been Kissed.
Exactly.
Talking about the kiss of the Holy Spirit.
Nice.
So we've got all these great things. And I thought, well, we'll bring them in. We'll get them on fire. Have them feel like they're really part of something. Then help them discern where the Lord is leading them. You know, because my whole thing is that the Holy Spirit can speak to us in so many different ways. And God at every moment and every opportunity is drawing us close to him.
Yeah.
So how is God drawing you close at this moment? Is it through Mary? You know, is it through the Holy Spirit? Is it through scripture? Is it through the sacraments? What is it? And so I was looking at what are those four pillars that always help my relationship with Jesus go mm-hmm. deeper.
Yeah.
And it's the Holy Spirit, the mm-hmm. Blessed Mother,
yep.
Sacred Scripture, and prayer. Those are my four pillars.
Nice.
So my original thought was, we'll get everyone in, we'll have fun, and then we'll help them discern, you know, and to which area they want to go to. And we were hitting some kind of roadblocks. And so during the summer, we decided just to keep them in our world. And so we did a book club.
Nice.
And we called it Read Between the Wines.
Nice.
Read Between the Wines book club. Nice. Because they were at one wine group. They're coming to another wine event. And what we learned that summer was profound. I mean, it was the Holy Spirit just directing us. And that was two things. We asked the women after the book club, we said, what keeps women from doing something like this at a parish?
Mm-hmm.
And their two answers were, number one, time, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, well, we can get over that. I mean, if we give them like something to do for 6 weeks, once a week, maybe it's just an hour and a half,
mm-hmm.
and they come together and they're fed by each other, they're going to make time for that. You know, they really are. You've got Bible study groups that have been going forever and ever. And I don't know what they do in San Francisco, but I'm like, in Minnesota, I'm like, if you can bowl every Wednesday night for 40 years, you can make time to do something like this.
We don't bowl, but I get your drift.
If you could serve every Monday night for 40 years.
And that's just so the first thing is time. The next is the other, and the other one's child
care. The other one, but that's how I got into this. We can go back to my story.
No, it's really?
Yeah.
Child care?
Yeah.
Really?
That's how I got into this. I'll tell you that story in a minute.
But the
other one is intimidation. They were like, well, what if invite them to a Bible study? And they say, well, what if I say something stupid? And I know that. I was invited to a Bible study, and I was terrified, you know, and I was. And I was intimidated. What am I going to say? What do I do?
Yeah.
But we thought, well, if you bring them to a book club, mm-hmm. that's not intimidating.
Yeah.
It's inviting.
That's right.
And you feel safe there. The thing that's different with us with wine is our books are also Bible studies.
Nice.
They're a little bit of everything. We have two. We have Walk in Our Sandals,
mm-hmm.
Experiencing Christ's Passion through the Eyes of Women,
which
is what we just did this
with the retreat.
And then we have an Advent one, which is Gaze Upon Jesus, Experiencing Christ's Childhood through the Eyes of Women.
Nice.
And so they walk through this relationship with Jesus. Let's take his passion, death, resurrection, and the coming of the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
the way in which they were created to as women, with this very feminine soul, which is how we relate to our Lord as women, with a feminine soul.
Sure.
And so each chapter starts with the aha moments of Scripture.
Nice.
And then after the aha moments of Scripture, there is a biblical fiction. So now you're brought into the story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really great because I had a friend who traveled with me here this week, and she read the book. I gave her the book a year ago. She just finally read it, all in God's time or all in Laura's time. Who knows?
Sure.
So she finally read the book, and she said to me on Saturday morning, she's like, I have known this story my whole life. I mean, she's such a beautiful Christian. She said, I've never, ever experienced this. I felt like I was in a movie.
Nice.
You know, and I'm like, it's kind of Ignatian, just so you know. But so women are praying where they're putting themselves into the story. So you've got Scripture, and then you've got a novel,
mm-hmm.
and then there's catechesis. And for this one, we taught women the gifts of the feminine genius. What does it mean to be receptive? Our bodies are receptive as women. What does it mean to be receptive? How do we receive Jesus into our hearts the way they received him that first Palm Sunday into Jerusalem?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's a little catechesis there. And then I thought, well, this is great, but what does this mean to me 2,000 years later?
Yeah, it's a reflection. You know,
a reflection. So we had reflections written in there. We had some great ones. Lisa Hendy, who was one of your wonderful guests.
Yep.
And this is how the Holy Spirit led me to her. I said, Lisa, you live where there are palm trees. Write something about Palm Sunday.
Oh, nice.
And Teresa Tamio, you know, I said, you know, you come from a big Italian family.
Yeah.
All you do is eat and drink. You take the Last Supper, you
know?
Nice. And she wrote what's called My Holy Cannoli Moment.
Nice.
You know, so it's very good. And then there's questions. And there's also Lectio Divina. Everything we do has Lectio in it. So people learn to prayerfully pray the Scriptures. Because this is, if we're going to be women in the new evangelization, we have to have a good relationship with the Lord. And we have to be in His Word every day.
Yeah,
every
day. Sure.
And then we have some action items because you got to be in the new evangelization. You can't just be about it.
Yeah.
Or so above it or somewhere by it.
So mind,
because that acronym doesn't work.
Yeah. About it or above it.
Wayne.
Yeah. That's not going to work. No, that's great. And this is, you're describing the Sandals book.
Yeah, Walk
Okay, this,
Sandals.
This is the Sandals.
That's the Lenten one.
So it's the Lenten one. And so it's got this, it's a mixture of Scripture, imagination, a sense of reflection and action.
And our Advent one is the same. And the beautiful thing about that is we've got incredible authors in this book. you know, our Advent one we just finished and came out with this year, and we've got Dr.
And the name
Mary,
of that one's
Gaze Upon Jesus.
Gaze Upon Jesus.
Experiencing Christ's childhood through the eyes of women.
Gotcha. And that's the Advent. And this one's the Lent one because
yeah,
it's okay, gotcha.
Lent one.
Gotcha.
And so it's, you know, we got Dr. Mary Healy.
Nice.
You know, she writes in the book Dr. Deborah Savage, Dr. Liz Lev, and in the Gaze Upon Jesus we introduce Visio Divina.
Oh.
So not only are they getting Lexio, mm-hmm. praying with scriptures, yeah. now we teach them how to pray with sacred art.
Yes.
And the women are loving this. And then everything comes with a journal, which and a study guide. It's not just a journal, because most women are like, I don't have time to journal.
Nice.
But it really is to help them go deeper into their Lexio and to their Visio Divina, going deeper in their prayer, learn more about the saints that are being spoken about. And yeah, it's great.
Nice. So how did, so in terms of, this is something that reduces, if you will, or lowers the threshold to the intimidation factor. It's like, come, book club, the wine is kind of a clearinghouse for these. Is it? It's not. Is it actually producing it, or is it just kind of being a resource to kind of be able to get those out there?
I get to give you the Catholic answer again.
Yeah.
Yes.
Both and. Okay, both and. And. Yeah. Okay, so you're producing.
Yeah, so we are doing both. We are promoting all those good things that are out there that are tried, trusted, and true. Mm-hmm. You know, like if they want to get into a really deep scripture study, we're like, okay. Great Adventure,
yep.
Bible Timeline, mm-hmm. phenomenal.
Yeah, sure.
Learn the story of salvation history.
That's
it's going
right.
to work.
Yep.
You know, Catholic Scripture study, it's going to work.
That's right.
Seeking Truth, we know it works. You know, I mean, that these are good, solid Catholic studies. But we also are producing stuff.
Okay.
And that's why I love the Bible studies we're producing, because what women don't realize they're getting, I think you said it really well, and I also think maybe it's Pope St. Gregory the Great said it about Scripture.
Mm.
And what was it? That the Scriptures are shallow enough, you know, that, what is it, a lamb can wade in them, and deep enough that an elephant can
oh,
swim
yeah,
in them,
sure,
right?
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah, no, it's
and
a,
so I feel,
always get something.
I feel yeah. like that's, I'm not comparing wine to scripture, you know, are what we're producing as good as what the Holy Spirit produced. However, I think that's what it is. I mean, it's a great entry place for people to come in to something new, but those who have been doing scripture studies their whole life, it's deep.
Yeah.
It's deep. You know, sure. you've got the theology of Dr. Deborah Savage and Dr. Mary Healy running through this. And, you know, some of these great authors like Lisa Hendy and Pat Goen and Teresa Tamio. I mean, there's some good stuff.
St. Augustine says the beauty of the scripture like that. And I think of this quote when he talks about the simplicity of a child, right? Because he himself has this kind of first reaction against scripture, because he's a philosopher and like this great orator, you know, mm-hmm. one of the greatest minds ever. And he's like, yeah, this is for, you know, a 6-year-old, right? But it's so simple that the hidden riches that are there, you really got to unpack and understand. Yeah. And if you, it's the same Spirit who inspired the scripture that helps us to connect with it and live it. And so it's that openness to that and facilitating that in not just individually, but in a group, as you're trying to get people and women together to do that, really it activates the Holy Spirit in a new way.
It does. Like, yeah. We had a great experience with that today.
Yeah.
We did a group Lexio Divina.
Yeah.
Called on the Holy Spirit and read together and went through all the stages of Lexio Divina and, you know.
Nice. Reading. So do people sign up? So is the site for like, okay, let's say we're gonna start a group here at our John Q. Parish kind of thing, right? So you just... Everyone orders the book separately, and you kind of get together. Is there mechanisms for, so? Because I think the other intimidation factor is who's actually going to like lead this thing.
I know. Here's why wine is super cool.
Here we go.
Because we have everything for them.
Yeah,
everything. Because again, I don't want women to reinvent the wheel. We're too busy.
Yeah.
And so when you come to CatholicVineyard.com, which is our website, how cool is that? I don't know how the bishops didn't have that one.
Really?
Catholic Vineyard.
Catholic Vineyard?
No one had that. CatholicVineyard.com. I know. That's
the
Holy
Spirit. That was one that was laying fallow for a while.
I know. There you go. Very funny. So when you come to our website, you can...
In between the vines?
In between the vines.
Or no, the wine. No, that's
Catholic Vineyard.
Catholic Vineyard, that's right.
You can click on, you know, our book clubs, and it'll bring you to a page, and say you're doing Walk in Our Sandals.
Mm-hmm.
You see this little vine with Walk in Our Sandals on it. You click on that, and everything comes up. How you facilitate it. It's a facilitator's guide right there, a pulpit announcement, a bulletin announcement, flyers, if you're going to do it in a parish setting. We've got women who will work with you, wine specialist.
Oh.
And the here's the best part.
A sommelier, a kind of spiritual
sommelier.
We
have that.
Okay.
Right? So we have even those who are our leaders, like say your parish decides to do it.
Yeah.
That leader is known as a wine enthusiast. How's that?
Nice. Very
good. So, in theos, God, to have God in you to be passionate about what you're doing.
They're
enthusiastic about doing this. So we make it super easy. We have a whole online presence. We do a lot of video on Facebook. I know the group right now, there's probably about, a couple thousand in it. And on Wednesday nights, Allison Gingras from Massachusetts, she's on live and has one of the speakers or authors or someone on.
Nice.
Everyone is just totally.
So do you have, do you sign up for, so it's like the little, put it this way, do you get like little clusters and the clusters
connect?
That's
what they're called. You're
are
so good.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
You are so good. We got our wine clusters. Okay. And eventually what's going to happen is we're going to have this vineyard just packed and fruitful.
Okay.
And we, you know what? They all have different names. Like our cluster in St. Louis is called Gateway Wine.
Okay.
We got NOLA wine in New Orleans, Cajun wine and like the Baton Rouge.
Okay.
We even have military wine. And they are called Wine at Ease.
Oh, very nice.
So we are in the military, working really close with the military and the Catholic Women of the Chapel, the Military Council of Catholic Women. Yeah.
Of course.
That's awesome.
Of course, everyone knows that the best wine is from California.
Yes. Well, there's some good wines in Italy.
Yeah, they can. All right, they're good. But we've got Napa. We need a wine cluster here in Napa.
Yes, you do.
So in terms of, so if someone just individually says, I want to be part of this group, are there like local regions that you can search for and find and things like that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, one of the greatest things is just come on our website, CatholicVineyard.com, and just to sign up.
Yeah.
And you become a member. We're a nonprofit. I mean, really run by the graciousness of women all around the country.
Yeah.
By their time, talent, and treasure, without a doubt. But you can come and you can join for free. You can join and be part of us, you know, at any level of membership. And then you get our emails so you know what we're doing. We have a lot of different conferences. We have big conferences we hold that usually are between 500 and 1,000 people. So we do two or three of those a year around the country.
And then those gather different people that are involved in these book clubs? Or is this just like women ministry or just...
Everyone. We'll see our book club people in there. We'll see. There are some people that really come to our Women, Wine, and Wisdom, our evening events.
Gotcha.
We'll see. And just anyone. It's open for the Archdiocese or Diocese or wherever we are.
Yeah.
And so we have our 10th one coming up.
Oh, my goodness.
In Baton Rouge. And we held the first ever National Catholic Women's Conference in 2017 with Archbishop Chaput.
Oh, Philadelphia.
Philadelphia.
Oh, nice.
Yep, there's never been a National Catholic Women's Conference. Like, different groups have their national conferences, like Magnificat has their national conference, and Walking with Purpose has theirs, and Women of Grace has theirs.
Yeah.
But there's never been one that's brought all the women together.
Okay.
And that's really been on my heart for like 10 years. I'm like, you know what? If our Protestant sisters can get 20,000 women praising the Lord, then we can too.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're doing. That's why we're doing all these clusters, because eventually we want to have this massive, just incredible conference for women. And with wine, it can be under the umbrella, because wine isn't a program.
Yeah.
You know, it really is an umbrella. It's a vineyard.
And
so we promote all that is out there. So at our conference, the National Catholic Women's Conference, we had, 36 ministries and apostolates there.
Yeah.
Blessed is she, you know, the Military Council of Catholic Women. We had Walking with Purpose, Women of Grace. Yeah. It was just great.
Nice.
And Magnificat. And it's awesome.
Nice.
And again, it's complementarity.
Yeah.
And that's got to be what we focus on, that we complement each other and what we're doing. We can't out-generous God is my gift, my thing, you know?
Indeed. That's a tough thing to do, because every time you think you've tried. Speaking of trying to outdo God, how is the fact that you're here the product of childcare? That's a story I think I just stumbled onto and I want to go back to.
I'd fallen away from my faith. You know, I was born and raised Catholic and did all the little Catholic things, fell away from my faith, you know, and then, you know, all of a sudden you come back and to marriage prep. Because you're going, so I come back, so you kind of back in. Then we fell away again. Then we come back for baptism classes.
Are you a match, hatch,
match
and dispatch,
person? Yes.
Are you really?
That's what Martha Fernandez Sardina said to me.
There we go.
She said, honey, you are match, hatch, and dispatch.
That's right. Okay.
That's it.
Right, very
and
good.
And so I was like, oh my goodness, you know what? You're right. I was.
You're not alone either.
But God always working on you. So one day my kids were all little, and it was back to school night. And so I was going to back to school night is where you go and you sign up to volunteer, because it's Catholic school.
Wait, let me guess. Your husband had to tell you not to sign up for everything. You're striking me as someone who's... Yeah, okay.
Those were his final parting words.
Really?
Don't sign up for everything. I
don't really know you, but I feel like I do know you.
No, seriously, I was good. I only signed up for the Thanksgiving party, okay. for the Epiphany party, to chair the golf committee, to do the gala.
I'm looking at you, Kathy. Yeah. I'm looking at you. Yeah, okay.
The only thing I didn't sign up for was the father-son canoe trip, pretty much.
Oh, your husband's name's Andy?
Andy, yeah.
Oh, Andy, I feel you, bro. All right, keep going. Sign up for everything. Okay.
So as I was leaving, my friend had this Bible study all laid out, and it was color-coordinated. I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is really cool.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, you need to sign up for this. This is great. It is a Bible study by my friend Jeff Cavins. You will just love it.
Mm.
And I'm like, no. I can't sign up for another thing. Andy will divorce me. He told me not to sign up for everything. This would be everything.
Okay.
And then I'm looking at it. It says 24 weeks. I'm like, 24 weeks?
Yeah, forget about it.
No.
Yeah.
And then she said, but we're doing it once a month. And I'm like, wait a minute. That's
half the year.
That's 2 years.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's the gestational period of an elephant. That's a long time to commit. I'm not doing that.
Oh, once a month.
She was like, we're doing it once a month. 2 years. That's a long time.
Oh, my gosh.
So she said, but if you sign up, then everyone will sign up. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. No. And so I didn't. But the next day I got a phone call from my friend Josie, who said, hey, Cal, we saw you signed up for the Bible study. So 40 of us women signed up.
Wait, did the other person sign you up?
I called Nicole.
Oh, Nicole signed you up.
Before she even answered the phone, before she said hello, she said, just hear me out.
And God so bless she Nicole.
Gave, I know.
And her devious ways.
And her devious ways. She gave me so many reasons why I should be in a Bible study.
Yeah.
And they were good reasons. You know, I need to grow deeper in my love for the Lord. I need to grow in my faith. I need to know my faith. I need to raise my children in this faith.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said those final three words that were icing on the cake and sealed the deal. And we have free childcare. Praise God.
There we go. There's where the childcare comes back.
I don't even care what book we're studying. It could have been the Thornbirds. It didn't even matter to me. Whatever. Give me any book. But I wanted to be with adults. I was always with children.
Yep.
You know, those were my conversations. I was spending the days explaining to a 4-year-old little girl who's screaming and can't, you know, catch her breath that, you know, it's okay. Grandpa will put Barbie's head back on Barbie after he gets the sweater on her. Just easier for Grandpa if he pulls the head off. You know, I mean, this was my life.
Yep.
And so I needed to be with adults.
Yeah.
And Jeff Cavins says this the best. He says that God gives us what we need wrapped in what we want. What I wanted was to be with those adults and have adult conversation. What I needed was a deeper relationship with the Lord.
Nice.
And that was 15 years ago, and it's gone that way ever since.
So you got engaged to the Bible study, and then you ended up connected.
It absorbed me, and I worked with The Great Adventure. I worked with Jeff Cavins for 7 years.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay, so you basically did the Bible study and then is it local there? Yeah, that's why.
So I worked with him then for 7 years and I was the director of community relations for The Great Adventure. And in that time, Jeff and I built the Archbishop Flynn Catechetical Institute, which he was the director. He resigned. I'm now directing that.
In
St. Paul, Minneapolis. So he still teaches there. So technically he works for me.
How's he doing these days?
Great.
Okay.
He's right now, in fact, at this moment, he is teaching the School of Discipleship for the Catechetical Institute. So hopefully he's all set. I got him all set before I came out to California. but then after I worked for The Great Adventure, then for 3 years, I worked with a young priest from Southern California.
Mm.
And it was nice. A couple of my friends had met this priest in Malibu, and I had 5 friends there, and they all knew me really well, and they knew everything I was going through, and they all knew each other really well, but they had no idea they were all going to be in Malibu, and they were from Idaho and Colorado. It was really crazy. It was really Holy Spirit.
Wow.
So I got a phone call one night from one of them, and he said, hey, Cal, we're at this conference, and there's this young priest. He's talking about evangelization. He sounds just like you. He's like, you got to talk to him. And he said, because we were all sitting around afterwards, and we were telling him, we're like, you sound a lot like our friend. And this priest was saying, well, you know, I just gutted my office of evangelization, and I've been praying to the Holy Spirit to give me someone who can do this, whatever. Yeah. And he looked up, and all 5 jaws were on the ground. And he's like, what? And 5 people are like, we know the person. And he's like, what? And he said, they said, it's Kelly Wahlquist.
Nice.
So the priest said, okay, well, maybe I should call her, you know, next week. They're like, no, call her now.
Call her this minute. Yeah,
call
nice.
Her this minute. So they called, just actually, they were calling just to give me a time to set up to talk to him tomorrow, like the next day. Can you talk to him tomorrow?
Nice.
And then my friend said, hey, he's walking by right now. Can you talk to him now? I said, sure.
Yeah.
And so, and at the time, I was praying a novena to St. Mary Magdalene, who's my girl, my favorite. And,
patron saint of the Dominican Order, Order of Preachers, as you well know, and our listeners know well.
There you
continue,
go.
Continue. I when I hear Mary Magdalene, I got to have a Mary Magdalene drop.
Got to have a Mary Magdalene mic drop. The Mary Mag mic drop. Yeah, I think we've just come up with it.
It's true. It's true. So it's one of the places I love when I was in Rome. Just say, yeah. I found her sandals there. Yeah, yes. Yeah. So
it's
anyway,
so cool.
On, anyway,
I love it.
Yeah.
So he knew I was praying this novena.
Mm-hmm.
And so he kind of introduced himself to me a little bit. We talked for about 5 minutes, and he said, I hear you're praying a novena. And I said, I am. And he said, who are you praying it to? And I said, St. Mary Magdalene. He said, she's one of ours, you know. And I said, what? He said, she's one of ours at Divine Mercy. She's one of our girls. And I'm nice. Like, of course she is.
Yeah.
Of course she is. Why wouldn't she be? It's Divine Mercy.
Yeah.
You know? And he said, he explained who he was. Mm-hmm. He said he was Father Michael Gately, and he'd just become the new Father Joseph. And I was really confused by that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't understand. What are you, Father Joseph, but your Father Michael?
Yeah.
He's like, well, I took on the name because I took on the role. And finally, I was like, oh, are you like the Dread Pirate Roberts? Have you seen The Princess Bride?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And he's like, oh my gosh, I totally am the Dread Pirate Roberts, nice. You know? So we laughed about that, but then I totally got it. But he said, okay, I hear you're praying a novena. Yep, Mary Mag. And he said, all right, here's the thing. I'm just going to go and tell you this right now. You're the answer to my prayer. I'm the answer to your novena. I'm like, what?
Nice.
And so we talked for about 2 hours. He pretty much hired me on the spot.
Wow.
And then he went on vacation. And we planned for me to fly out there and to meet him.
Yeah.
He went on vacation. So I was flying out to Stockbridge. And on Friday, when he was coming back from vacation, he sent me an email and said, hey, while I was on vacation, I wrote a book. And I said, well, who doesn't?
Yeah, exactly.
Underachiever? No, yeah. Okay. He's like, I wrote a book. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Okay. He said, if I send you the manuscript, will you read it? Sure. So when I got there on Monday, I met him for, you know, face-to-face finally for like 5 minutes. And we talked. And then he said, did you happen to read that book, the manuscript? I said, yeah, I did. And he said, what'd you think? You know, did you just skim it? I said, no. He said, you read the whole thing? I'm like, yeah. And he goes, what'd you think? And we actually wrote this down in my little Moleskine notebook afterwards. I said, Father, this book is going to revolutionize Catholicism in the United States. It's going to be a beacon for the new evangelization in Europe.
Mm.
And the Southern California priest got up behind his big oak desk in the East Coast, put his hands on the desk. He looked at me, he said, dude, are you serious? And I'm like, dude, I'm so serious. And I said, but you have on here that it's a keep it to yourself retreat or do it yourself retreat.
Yeah,
I said, that's fine. But we're in the new evangelization. It can't be a keep it to yourself retreat.
Yeah.
So then he and I, we created the Hearts of Fire parish-based programs for the new evangelization.
Mm.
So I worked for 3 years to get the consecration to Jesus through Mary through 33 days to Morning Glory out among the whole entire nation. I mean, we just wanted to light it on fire with people being consecrated to Jesus through Mary.
Nice.
And then Consoling the Heart of Jesus was the second one. And so I worked for him for 3 years. I loved it.
Yeah.
But then my heart was being pulled to women's ministry.
Women's ministry
and
on
so,
the wine.
I mean, God was always, you know, always putting me where I needed to be. And even the places, the women I met, all the connections I had around the country, even to bring out 33 Days to Morning Glory, I had so many connections.
Yeah.
And I laugh. I have a good friend, Kitty Cleveland, who will have to do your retreat next year. Phenomenal.
Nice. Very good.
And I said to Kitty one day, I said, you know what? You know when you're little, like, do you have sisters?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So when they're little, they would play Barbie dolls. Or, you know? And
No.
Do you have friends that play Barbie dolls? Dolls?
I'm going to be a great host and just not help you
okay,
advance the story.
I was little.
Okay, very good. I know Barbie. Yes, let's just say yes, Father. Yes.
When
continue.
Most people were kids were little, they'd play dolls. And the biggest thing with that, with playing that, was that you take all the time to set it up. Okay, yeah. G.I. Joe. Did you have G.I. Joe?
I did have G.I. So I had the equivalent of G.I. Joe.
Thank
yes.
you. So it's all about the setup. That's what I was telling Kitty. I'm like, this is all about the setup.
Yeah.
You know, you for girls, some of them, not your family, you get Ken and you get the the Corvette and you get the dream pool or whatever they all have. Yeah. And you set everything up for 2 hours. And then you play for like 10 minutes.
Yep.
And I said, I feel like we're Mary's Barbie dolls. Like Mary is just setting us up.
Yeah.
All around the country because she knows what's going on. She knows God's got a plan of sheer goodness and she's just helping us get right where we need to be. So that's kind of been, that's how I got here. That's the really quick.
Nice. The quick story. No, thanks for sharing. I love how it all cascades from childcare.
It does.
Childcare.
Free childcare
and the ability to have adult conversation.
It does. There might have been some snacks involved.
Yeah.
Too.
Although I have a feeling that the Lord had you prepped if your presence could get 40 other compatriots to a Bible study. That means a good testing number
in the Bible, isn't it?
There 40, you go. So. Exactly. That's a good amount of things. thanks. Did you just mention? You're also the director of the Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute. I'm not sure if we can. Ack Flynn. No, that's not going to. That's not the easiest one.
No, the Flintstitute.
Flintstitute, yeah. is that kind of your main? So how do you?
That's a 2-year program, yeah. And we're in 3 different dioceses. So it's a 2-year program that walks the laity through the catechism, and we do it as a story from blessing to blessing on this journey, and give us the catechism kind of as that roadmap to lead us on this journey, and so it's broken up into 4 semesters that follow the 4 pillars.
Nice. 2 years.
And 2 years, perfect. Okay. And so it's not, it seems like a big commitment, but those 4 semesters are 10 weeks or 11 weeks. Hmm. So, you know, it's like September to early December, and then you're off until February until early May.
Nice.
And so what it does is it really teaches the truth of the faith, you know, and we do it, like I said, in story. So the first pillar is the creed.
Yeah.
Well, that's our story in miniature.
Sure.
You know, and then we've got sacraments and liturgy. That's how we get in the story.
Yep.
And then the third pillar is life in Christ. Well, that's our script. This is how we act in the story. And then prayer, this is our communication with God. And it's the icing. Prayer is the icing on the cake when you're going through the catechism.
Yeah.
And so that's really grown in the last, this will now be graduating our 10th class.
Nice.
3 different dioceses. We've got many classes. All the classes are named after a saint.
Oh, okay.
So if you ask people what year they graduated, they'd be like, I'm the class of St. John Vianney. And then, you know, then the class of St. Paul's like, yeah, well, I'm the class of St. Paul. They get all competitive.
Very good. That's clever. You kind of get patron saints for different classes.
Every single class. Last year we had our first time where we offered 2 classes at one time. I mean, we always have like module 1 going and then module 3 going somewhere else. But we offered 2 module 1s at one time. Mm-hmm. And although we weren't really at the exact same time, because we did a Monday and Tuesday, I still thought we were bilocating, so we named it the class of St. Padre Pio.
Oh, nice. Okay. Because that two different...
Because they had two different...
Instances. Yeah. That's clever. I was going to say, try to think if there's other examples. Any Dominican patrons?
Oh, I think that's our next one.
Oh,
that's a good idea.
I think so. So now you could even go with... someone who's not necessarily Dominican friar or sister, you go like a member of the third order, like Pier Giorgio, who's a Dominican laity, or someone like that.
I didn't know he was a Dominican laity.
What?
How did I not know that?
Shut the door, really?
Shut the door. How did I not know that?
Well, I don't know. You're the one who had the patron.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing.
I can't account for you, but.
That's crazy. Maybe I did know that. I must have known that.
I don't know.
Maybe you got
tell
married.
Me. You tell me.
That's our class right now, and it's because of this.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Look at that.
Pier Giorgio Frassati. That's what we have right now.
Yes.
And it's because of all this stuff with the young adults that's going on.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So, yeah. And he's good looking. You should have seen the women. Everybody signed up for that class.
Of course.
but just
to be clear, this is not just the women.
It's for men and women. Yeah. Yeah.
Very good. So, yeah, no, he's Dominican. Dominican laity, yeah.
Wow.
Our Dominican lay. Yeah, no, so there's, because Dominicans, we have, you know, the priests, which can both be the friars, which can be both priests and brothers. And then there's, Dominic had this idea of contemplative nuns. And then also, if you will, laity, which are assumed under the third order, which is Catholic sisters, so active sisters, and then lay, and then either religious priests, like the aforementioned Saint Louis, Louis de Montfort was a secular priest, but he was part of the Dominican Third Order, so he's a Dominican, in terms of that spirituality. So is the Dominicans and preaching is the kind of thing. So from our perspective, it's the full complement of preaching. But so you had a Dominican, you didn't even know it.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know what? And I am really, a lot of what I'm doing, I have been so supported by Dominicans.
Oh, okay.
By so, the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist.
Oh, sure.
When before wine was even wine, years and years ago, Sister Joseph Andrew and Mother Assumpta. And I love this story. I was bringing them back to the airport one day. And they've been praying for me for years, years. Just and I just met them. I had them. I was running the National Catholic Bible Conference. And I was bringing them back to the airport. And I had Sister Joseph Andrew on my right. I'm driving. Mother Assumpta's in the back seat. And I'm saying something about I was running this Bible study for the first time. And we had 633 people coming for the Bible study. And I was just saying how I felt kind of bad that I was praying to God to help me about this. And I mean, when there are people in, you know, China who can't even practice their faith. And I was kind of feeling guilty for asking God to help me with the Bible study. And all of a sudden, the seatbelt goes off of Mother Assumpta in the back. Cling. And she comes up and she's got her arms around the you know, the seat. What are they? The headrest?
The headrest.
And she comes up and she says, "Honey, God loves to be God. It's his job and he's good at it. You just let him do that." And I'm like, I love that. So I'm just going to live with that. God loves to be God.
Exactly. That's what I wanted to hear once again. The impersonation. That's spot
God
on.
God loves to be God. And hun.
Yeah, hun. Yes. Hun. Everything. Everything is
God
hun.
God loves to be God.
And he's good at his job. That's
So I have a very Dominican heart.
Very good. I love. See, there we go. Dominican heart. We reference. You know, I imagine that there's a little bit of a Franciscan vibe that gets in there sometimes,
there
an Ignatian vibe that gets.
Well,
in.
I got Claire. Claire is one of my favorite, but Thomas Aquinas is one of my tops. You know, I mean,
there
I got.
Go.
I got some.
There's lots of good vintage.
There's
lots
good vintage.
Of good.
Oh,
there's lots
look at
of
you.
Good. There's lots of good vintage
with the
out there.
Vino lingo. It's impressive.
Lots of good vintage. Anyway, in terms of the since you mentioned the Flynn Institute, or what you call it, the Flintstitute, is what you call it?
I probably should. The Flintstitute. Don't tell my rector I called it that.
is it something that the diocese buys into and then people connect through the
yes.
diocese? So it's not like an individual-like thing.
No,
it's diocesan.
It's a diocesan kind of thing. We're in the Archdiocese of Minneapolis-St. Paul. We're in the Diocese of St. Cloud. And this is now we're in our third year in the Diocese of Des Moines.
Okay, so it's more regional there. So interesting. I know different dioceses have different catechetical kinds of things, but that's really so. When you're flying around, you're giving these talks, you've just founded Wine on the Side.
Yep.
When do you rest? When do you sleep?
What is this
exactly?
What is this rest of which you speak?
Exactly. You're flying about. So do you have what's your next stop then?
Actually, my next stop is rest.
Is it? Oh, fantastic.
And my next stop is Southern California with my family for 2 weeks.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, so I do get
fantastic.
To rest.
Good,
that's
good.
And then Hawaii, but that's work. I know. Someone's got to do it.
Someone has to do it. Where in Hawaii?
I will be in Honolulu working with the military.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah.
Okay, this is not the At Ease group.
This is one of
the At Ease groups?
It's all
At Ease.
But it's also, I'm doing a conference the Saturday before, so I think it's April 6th.
Nice.
So and then Women, Wine, and Wisdom with the military wives and military active duty too. Some of them. So
nice,
yeah.
Nice, very good. And is the 33 days because there's certainly people in this parish that have benefited very, very greatly from that total consecration. The 33 days, not the full consecration of Louis de Montfort, but this other 33 days.
But the beauty it leads people into that full wet the whistle.
I'm teasing you. This makes it approachable. is it part of the cluster?
We have a lot of our groups that, here's the beauty, Father, you can just add wine to anything. And wine enhances whatever you're doing.
That's
so
right.
So if you've done a consecration with your group and you're like, okay, we just consecrated, now what should we do?
Exactly.
Add wine.
Exactly, yeah.
Makes it better.
That's right. Yeah. Is there, now if there's a, I'm trying to think if there's, there's wine, is there any, you know, is there, you're partnering with anyone for nine?
Or mine.
Or mine,
like
I'm sorry, mine.
The men?
Yeah, the men.
Well, we tried to go with like, we tried to get the men to do like bread, and we'd be bread and wine, like brothers really evangelizing awesomely daily. I don't know.
Okay. It was spitballing here. Bread.
But the guys didn't really go for it.
No, they didn't. Okay.
It was too wimpy to be bread. And when we got to be wine, we were cool. Beer, brothers evangelizing everyday radically.
Okay. Yeah. Beer. Okay. I don't know. This has been thought of, but it's,
well,
it's going to take.
It's not very scriptural, but
that's
but
true.
The wine really is.
The wine is the wine. The wine.
We've got a lot of vine and a lot of branches, a lot of reference to wine, and yeah.
Well, you planted a seed. We got it. We'll give it some more thought.
All
we'll
right.
do a little brainstorm
All right.
next time.
That
we'll complete it. So, Kel, can I call you Kel?
Since
you reference yourself as Kel. It was wonderful to have you. Thanks so much for being here, part of St. Dominic's. And for all of our listeners, I hope this was a moment, especially as we continue into Lenten season, that you too are being refreshed. Lent, of course, means springtime, and it's not just a time where we give stuff up and try to grit our teeth and power through, although I've got to admit in these days of Lent, when you give up, you know, desserts and sugars and things, it can be a little white knuckly, but the point is we want to be renewed by the Lord's Spirit, and so may all that you do here at our parish truly radiate the joy of the gospel here in the heart of the city. Amen?
Amen.